My guest at this time is California Republican Congressman Tom McClintock, who represents the Golden State's 4th Congressional District. He joins me now to talk about his effort to make sure that the United States does not default in case there is not an extension of the debt ceiling here in the coming days. He is the lead sponsor of the Default Prevention Act, which cleared the House of Representatives on Wednesday. And Congressman, thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
For folks who aren't aware exactly what your bill calls for, explain what it does.
Well, it simply guarantees that the sovereign debt of the United States will be paid in full and on time, regardless of what differences and quarrels we are engaged in Washington.
And when people worry that if the debt ceiling is not extended, there won't be money to pay bills, even that bill, there is still money coming in through the Treasury, correct?
Oh, yes. But the principal problem is this. We're carrying a debt now that exceeds the size of our entire economy. As you may have noticed, when people lend you money, they generally like to have you pay it back. And until you do, they like you to pay interest on that. If there is ever any doubt that the full faith and credit of the United States will be honored, the interest that is charged to us for borrowing could go up. In fact, it could spike. And given the amount of debt that we're carrying, that would be absolutely catastrophic. The interest costs on the national debt are already exceeding $220 billion. Within 8 years, they will exceed our defense spending. So any spike in interest rates caused by any question that we'll be making our payments in full and on time could be catastrophic.
The president has said he will veto this bill if it gets to his desk, and some Democrats, I saw one report where Sander Levin, a leading Democrat on the Ways and Means Committee, says that House Republicans have once again advanced a bill that would put our nation's full faith and credit at risk. Default by any other name is default, and that's almost the exact same language the White House used. You just said that this is preventing default, so what do you make of their characterization of your bill?
Well, what they're doing is confusing default on the sovereign debt of the country, which is basically our credit, with postponement of paying other bills. Now, neither of those is a good thing. But, you know, as I've pointed out, if you're a family that's living off of its credit cards, as we are at the moment, you would darn well better make the minimum payment on the credit card first, or you won't be able to pay the rest of your bills. That's exactly the situation that the United States government is in at the moment. And by the way, when the family has to increase its credit limit because it's spending above its means, it had also better have a serious conversation about what's driving its debt and what to do about it. And that's what the Democrats refuse to engage in. You know, everybody agrees we should pay all of our bills on time. And while we are deficit spending, we are going to have to increase the debt limit. Republicans acknowledge that responsibility. Democrats acknowledge that responsibility. But when you are increasing the debt limit, you also have a responsibility to address the policies that are driving that debt. Republicans acknowledge that responsibility. Democrats don't. And that's the crux of the problem.
The president has said that many times. In fact, he says that this is simply paying the bills that we have agreed to pay, so he doesn't want any strings attached. What do you make of that logic? Oh, I guess you've already addressed it a little bit, but respond to that if you can. And also, specifically, what type of changes you'd like to see attached to any extension of the debt ceiling so we don't have to keep dealing with this?
Well, that's the matter that Congress has to take up, and the problem is the bigger the debt, the bigger the controversy and how to address what's driving it, and the bigger the controversy, the greater the question over whether we're going to be able to reach an agreement in time to stay current with our debt obligations. This bill takes that doubt off the table. It provides calm in credit markets that it would be very important so that we can negotiate changes that have to be made to bring our debt under control. But one of the things that truly amazes me is that the opponents of this bill, and again, it was a party-line vote among Democrats, they support loan guarantees to foreign corporations. They support loan guarantees to domestic special interests and foreign governments, but they're unwilling to guarantee loans that are made to our own government. I can't understand the logic there.
Did you get a response to that from anyone?
No, nothing.
So what's your expectation for this legislation now? Will it even make it through the Senate? And given the party line vote, if it does get to the president, it looks like his veto will be sustained.
Well, I'm counting on a very different president taking office in 458 days, not that I'm counting. And I think that this measure will pave the road for a future measure in the next Congress that will be signed into law. But it will take six Democrats to cross party lines and agree to consider this bill in the Senate. That's a pretty tall order, considering the partisanship in the Senate at the moment. And that's also a good argument for revisiting the whole question of why is it that it requires 60 votes just to take up a bill in the Senate.
California Republican Congressman Tom McClintock represents his state's 4th congressional district, and again, he's the lead sponsor of the Default Prevention Act. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.